O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to whoever is in your hands of the captives, if Allah knows any good in your hearts, He will give you something better than what was taken from you, and He will forgive you, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. But if they intend to betray you, then they have already betrayed Allah before, and He empowered you over them, and Allah is knowing and wise. Indeed, those who have believed and immigrated and fought with their wealth and lives in the cause of Allah, and those who gave shelter and aided, they are allies of one another. But those who believed and did not immigrate, for you there is no guardianship of them until they immigrate. And if they seek help of you for the religion, then you must help, except against a people between yourselves and whom is a treaty. And Allah is seeing of what you do. Now in this ayah, what are we told? The reward of hijrah and jihad. What is hijrah? وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا. What is hijrah? Hijrah is from hajra, which is to leave something. It is when a person leaves something in order to be saved from its danger, in order to be protected from its harm. This is what hajr is. The Prophet ﷺ said that the muhajir is the one who gives up all what Allah has forbidden. The muhajir is he who gives up that which Allah has forbidden. Because sometimes it's easy to leave your house. Very easy to leave your house. People are waiting for that day when they can leave their house. That day when they can move out. Leaving the house, leaving the country is not that difficult. What is more difficult is leaving what Allah has forbidden. He is muhajir. Because he's sacrificing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is mental hijrah. You understand? One is physical hijrah. But then there has to be this mental hijrah also. Emotional hijrah also. That when you shift from love and attachment to one thing, to love and attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also a kind of hijrah. And such people, what is their reward? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, worshipping during the period of widespread turmoil is like immigration to me, is like hijrah to me. Meaning if a person worships Allah at a time when there is fasad, when there is fitna, he continues to worship Allah when nobody around him is worshipping Allah. Staying firm at that time, remaining obedient to Allah in those times. What is the reward for that? It is like a person doing hijrah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. Can you imagine? Leaving your home, going to Medina and seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day and praying behind him 5 prayers, hearing him recite the Quran. Can you imagine? How lovely that would be. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person remains firm in ibadah of Allah during times of fitna, when everybody's leaving the haqq one after the other, but a person stays firm that no, I'm not going to stop this. I'm not going to leave this. I am going to continue to do this because my Allah loves it. He has legislated this. He keeps firm. She keeps firm. Then the reward is like that of hijrah. And what is the reward of hijrah? In a hadith we learn, which is in Musnad Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ, he was once with some companions. Abdullah ibn Amr narrated this. He said that I was with the Prophet ﷺ and the sun was rising. Alright, so they were watching the sun rise. And he said, on the day of judgment, Allah will bring a people whose light will be like the light of the sun. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, is it us, Ya Rasulullah? Is it going to be us? The Prophet ﷺ said, no. For you is khair kathir, meaning you will have much good. These people, they are the fuqara muhajirun. The fuqara, the poor ones, the muhajirun, those who do hijrah, those who will be gathered from the corners of the earth. Meaning those who are living in isolation. Isolation in what sense? That in their homes, in their cities, in their communities, they are alone. They're not surrounded by righteous people. But they're struggling alone. They're struggling. They're suffering from faqr. They're suffering from poverty for the sake of Allah. Why? Because they have done hijrah. They have immigrated in the way of Allah. And this immigration is what? Staying firm on ibadah at times of hardship. at times of fitna. So such people who have struggled in this way alone, they're the only ones doing that good deed, then what will happen on the Day of Judgment? They will come while their faces will be shining like their rising sun. Rising sun. So such people, their reward is not wasted. And those who disbelieved are allies of one another. If you do not do so, meaning, O believers, if you don't help each other, if you don't struggle in His cause, if you don't remain firm in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what will happen? There will be fitna on earth and great corruption. This fitna will spread. Then who will know the Qur'an? Somebody has to sacrifice. Somebody has to put in the effort. So if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Think about it, the forces of evil, how much they are spreading. So many calls to evil. And how many people are calling people to the haqq, calling others to the haqq, calling others to the Qur'an? How many? There's so many avenues of doing wrong. So many invitations to sin. How many invitations are there to call people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who believe, وَهَاجَرُوا, and they immigrate, وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they strive in the way of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا, and those who shelter them and help them, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا, those are the believers in truth. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, for them is forgiveness and a noble provision. And those who believed after the initial immigration and immigrated and fought with you, they are of you. Meaning those who come and join you afterwards and their struggle in the cause of Allah along with you, side by side with you, they are of you. But those of blood relationship are more entitled to inheritance in the decree of Allah. Indeed, Allah is knowing of all things. What we see in these two verses, that Islam is to be served in two ways. How? One is that either a person should become a muhajir or he should become an ansari. Who is a muhajir? Muhajir is the one who leaves something in order to serve the religion of Allah. And who is the ansari? The ansari is the one who helps his Muslim brother or sister who has left something for the sake of Allah. You see, when you take a step forward, you need somebody to encourage you. Yes, the encouragement, the help, it comes from Allah. It comes from the deed that you have done. That satisfaction comes from it. But we as human beings, we need the support of each other. We need the help of each other. So if, for example, a person is coming forward to learn the deen of Allah, aren't there people required to help them learn the deen of Allah? Isn't that so? I mean, think about it. There was perhaps once a time when we wanted to learn the Qur'an. Didn't we need somebody to help us learn the Qur'an? Sit in front of us and listen to every word that we're saying and correct the mistakes that we're making? And then spend time listening to us, teaching us, correcting us again and again and again? They helped us so we were able to learn. We left something and came to learn. And somebody came forward and helped us. And like this, we learnt. And they got the reward. Now, when we have learned something, isn't it our duty to help those who have left their homes, who have left their jobs, who have left their school in order to come and study the Book of Allah? Isn't that our responsibility? Isn't that our responsibility? So we see that the work of the deen will only go forward, will only succeed when both of these groups are present. The muhajir and the ansari. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, what was the hijrah? There were people who left Makkah, who left their homes, their relatives, their businesses, their properties. They left that and they joined the Prophet ﷺ in Medina. And in Medina, how could they live if the Ansar did not open up their houses to them? How could they? These days what happens? We hesitate even to sit next to a person, in the masjid even, to help them learn the Book of Allah. Because we want to live our own personal comfortable lives. But we see that the Sahaba, the Ansar, what did they do? What did they do? They opened their houses to the Muhajirun. So much trust and love was there between these people that the Ansar said, come, come, live in our houses. You live upstairs, I will live downstairs. Can you imagine doing that today? Would we do that today? That somebody wants to learn the Quran and we say, yes, here is my number. No way, we would never even give our phone number. Or we say, okay, here's where I live, you can come and see me. You can come to my house. We hesitate doing these things. Because we don't trust each other. That love is missing. I'm not saying that we should be careless with regards to this matter. No, we have to be careful. But when someone is genuinely coming, then it is our obligation to assist them. Otherwise, what will happen? What will happen? The cause of the deen, that will be affected because of us. And who is going to bear that sin, that burden? Us. We are going to bear that burden. Because Allah has made us ummatan wasatan. He has made us the ummah that is in the middle. The link between mankind and Allah. We have to pass this on to the people, this Qur'an. And if we don't do it, then remember Allah will give this work, this noble task to somebody else. So, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا مَعَكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْكُمْ. Those are among you. Those are of you. We have to come together. We learned that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that I am a za'im. And who is za'im? The one who guarantees, a guarantor. I am za'im for the one who believes in me and accepts Islam and does hijrah. Meaning I guarantee that this person will have something. And what is it that he will have? A house on the outskirts of Jannah. And a house in the middle of paradise. And I am za'im for the one who believes in me and accepts Islam and strives in the cause of Allah. A house on the outskirts of Jannah. And a house in the middle of Jannah. And a house in the highest chambers of paradise. So the greater the effort, the greater the reward. So those who strive in the way of Allah, what do we learn? They are together. They have to be like brothers and sisters. Like the bond of ukhuwah was established between the muhajirun and the ansar when the hijrah happened. But then later on, it was made clear that yes, this bond is very sacred. Because of this bond, you should come together. You should be united. You should be working, striving together. However, there are also blood ties, blood relationships. There are other relatives. There are people who are related to you through blood. And they have their own rank. They should not be neglected because of the religious bond of brotherhood that you have with other people. Each has its own place. Because we learned that initially, after the hijrah, the muhajirun and the ansar, they would even inherit from each other. But after this ayah, it was made clear that no, it's only the blood relatives that will be heirs to one another. And this ensures moderation. And with this, alhamdulillah, we begin Surah At-Tawbah. Let's listen to the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bara'atun minallahi wa rasulihi ila alladhina 'ahadtum minal mushrikeen. Fasihu fil ardi 4 ashhurin wa'lamu annakum ghayru mu'jizillahi wa annallaha mukhzil kafirin. Wa'adhanun minallahi wa rasulihi إلى الناس يوم الحج الأكبر أن الله بريء من المشركين ورسوله فإن تبتم فهو خير لكم وإن توليتم فاعلموا أنكم غير معجز الله وبشر الذين كفروا بعذاب أليم.
سورة التوبة. براءة من الله ورسوله إلى الذين عاهدتم من المشركين. This is a declaration of disassociation from Allah and His Messenger to those with whom you had made a treaty of peace among the polytheists. Surah At-Tawbah or Surah Al-Bara'ah. This surah does not begin with Bismillah. Why? Because from the beginning of the surah, the first ayah of the surah, what does it do? It is dissolving the contracts that existed between the Muslims and the mushrikeen at the time when this ayah was revealed. And when a contract, when a peace treaty is being dissolved, then Bismillah is not going to be said over there. When is Bismillah said? When a contract is being made. At Sulh Hudaybiyah. When the Prophet ﷺ instructed Ali radiallahu anhu to write the terms of the treaty, he said, write, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And Suhail bin Amr from the side of the mushrikeen, he said, we don't know Ar-Rahman. Don't write this. You should write Bismikallahum. So the Prophet ﷺ had Ali radiallahu anhu change it to Bismikallahum. So the treaty was being made. Therefore, Bismillah was said, was written. Here, the treaties are being annulled. They're being cancelled. So when they're being cancelled, that means Bismillah will not be said. It will not be written. And the simple reason is that the Prophet ﷺ did not recite, did not teach the Basmala before Surah At-Tawbah. So here we see that this is a declaration of disassociation from Allah and His Messenger to those with whom you made a treaty of peace with among the polytheists. So travel freely, O disbelievers, throughout the land during 4 months' grace period. But know that you cannot cause failure to Allah, neither during this time nor afterwards, and that Allah will disgrace the disbelievers. Surah Al-Anfal was revealed after the first battle, the Battle of Badr. And Surah At-Tawbah was revealed after the conquest of Makkah. So the scene has completely changed. The situation has completely changed now. After the conquest of Makkah, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ, he sent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for Hajj. 1 year later, he sent Abu Bakr for Hajj. And at this time, these ayat were revealed. And Ali radiallahu anhu was sent with these ayat to recite to the mushrikeen that now any treaty that you had with the Messenger of Allah has been dissolved. And you have 4 months in which you decide if you want to live here in peace, then you show that by accepting Islam. But if you do not wish to live here anymore and you choose not to accept Islam, then you have to leave. You have a time of 4 months. And it is an announcement from Allah and His Messenger to the people on the day of the greater pilgrimage that Allah is dissociated from the disbelievers. And so is His Messenger. So if you repent, that is best for you. But if you turn away, then know that you will not cause failure to Allah and give tidings to those who disbelieve of a painful punishment. So we see that these ayat, Ali radiallahu anhu recited them at Hajj, when there was a huge gathering of people. Why? So that everybody would come to know that now all the treaties have been dissolved. Which means that now if anyone wishes to not embrace Islam, living in Makkah, living in the surrounding areas of Makkah, then they cannot stay here anymore. Why? Because for the past decade, what had been happening? These people who refused to accept Islam, first of all, they rejected the truth despite recognizing it, despite knowing of it. They called the Prophet ﷺ the truthful, yet they called him a liar when he recited the Quran to them. And secondly, they had shown extreme violence to the Muslims. They had killed them, they had tortured them, they had abused them. And so, if any of them would be allowed to remain in Makkah, in the surrounding areas, then what would happen? Again, things would go back to how they were. After a long struggle, peace had been established now, finally in the region. And this peace could not be disturbed by letting the mischief makers remain in the area. They had to be evicted, or they must leave their ways. So an open choice was given. So over here, an invitation to Tawbah has also been given. If you wish to repent, you can repent. But if you don't want to, then you have to leave. Accepted are those with whom you made a treaty among the polytheists, and then they have not been deficient toward you in anything or supported anyone against you. So complete for them their treaty until their term has ended. Indeed, Allah loves the righteous. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So over here we learn that those people from the mushrikeen who have been honest with you, who have not bothered you, who have not cheated you, who have not killed you, who have respected the terms that you have agreed to, then the treaties with them, they will continue. The contracts with them, they will continue. So we see over here that this was not a bias against the mushrikeen. Because many use these ayat to show, look how violent Islam is. Look how it doesn't tolerate other religions at all. No, this is not intolerance to other religions. This is intolerance to mischief. This is intolerance to treachery. That for all these years, the people who have been proven to be treacherous, now they're not welcome here. But those who wish to remain on their religion, they wish to remain mushrik, but they have shown honesty, then the treaties with them will continue until their time of expiry. فَإِذَا سَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ And when the sacred months have passed, then, meaning after the 4 months are over, the sacred months have passed, then if you see any of these enemy in the region, in Makkah and its surrounding areas, then kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and capture them, and besiege them, and sit and wait for them at every place of ambush. But if they should repent, establish prayer, and give zakat, let them go on their way. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. This is a very important ayah that is very easily misunderstood, very commonly misunderstood. This ayah was revealed in a particular context. For a certain group of people. This is not a blanket statement that any disbeliever, wherever you find him, just kill him. No, there's a whole context to this ayah. They were warned, they were given 4 months. And if after that, they're found in the region still willing to persist in their mischief, in their corruption, then okay, you have to catch these criminals wherever you find them. Because these people were criminals. These people had killed many Muslims, they had raised weapons. They had created havoc all these years. So, if a criminal, if a serial killer is found somewhere in the city, then of course he's going to be caught wherever he is found. Isn't that so? And if there's a criminal found with weapons somewhere, and he refuses to put down his weapons, then what is going to be done? Is he not going to be killed right there at the spot? We see this today. That how, in self-defense, police officers are allowed to shoot. Isn't it? So likewise, these criminals who had waged war against the Muslims all these years, for 20 years they had persecuted the Muslims. If these criminals are found roaming around the streets of Makkah, should they not be caught? Should they not be caught? Would that not be justice? It is justice. And remember that after these 4 months, in the seerah what we learn is that these 4 months when they were over, not a single mushrik was killed. Why? Because this ayah was meant to be a threat. That take this matter very seriously. You will not be spared if you continue in your wrong ways. If you continue this violence, you will not be tolerated at all. So what happened? People learned a lesson. Those who wanted to persist in their ways, they left the region. And those who were close to Islam, this ayah served like a push for them. A final push for them. And so they surrendered. They accepted Islam. They did tawbah and they changed their ways. وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And if any one of the polytheists seeks your protection, meaning after these 4 months, if there is a polytheist who says that no, these 4 months were not enough for me, I need some more time to think about it, fine, I will not fight you, but I need time to consider Islam, I'm still not open to it, I need more time, then Allah says, grant him protection, so that he may hear the words of Allah. Then deliver him to his place of safety. That is because they are a people who do not know. Meaning, even if the enemy wants to learn the Qur'an, hear the Qur'an, and for that purpose they want more time, then give them that time. Why? Because Qur'an, what does it do? It affects the heart. We learned earlier that the believers are affected by the recitation of the Qur'an. The Qur'an moves the heart. So give them a chance to hear the Qur'an. Give them a chance to learn about what Allah has revealed. This ayah does not mean that tell a person on gunpoint, have a knife in your hand, and tell him, you accept Islam or you will be killed. No, this is not what this ayah teaches. This ayah is saying, give them a grace period. And that is when they have been proven to be criminals. Not ordinary people, criminals. Give them a grace period. After that grace period, if they ask for an extension so that they may learn about Islam, then give it to them. Give it to them. Because a believer wants best for everybody, even his enemy. Because if his enemy, if he converts to Islam, if he believes in Allah, and because of his belief he enters into Jannah, wherein he finds everlasting bliss, isn't that good? Isn't that good? And we see that so many people, when they were spared, What happened? They accepted Islam. Think about it. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. He is the one who came at Uhud. And he is the one who had so many Muslims killed. What happened? He embraced Islam after several years. And when he embraced Islam, he was accepted as a Muslim. And then he brought so much benefit to Islam. Abu Sufyan also, he embraced Islam after the conquest of Makkah. You know, Suhail bin Amr, he was brought at the Battle of Badr as a war captive. And he was imprisoned in the house of the Prophet ﷺ. And this man, when he was a mushrik, he used to say a lot of harsh words against the Muslims. So Umar radiallahu anhu suggested, when he was brought in as a captive, he said, Ya Rasulullah, cut his tongue off. Allow me, I'll just cut his tongue off so that he cannot say anything against Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no. No, we don't do that. So what happened? Suhail, he paid his ransom. He went back to Makkah. And then at Sulh Hudaybiyah, he is the one who made the treaty with the Muslims. And then eventually, he embraced Islam also. He embraced Islam also. And then after the death of the Prophet ﷺ in Makkah, we learn that there were some people who were planning to go back to their ways of disbelief. They said, Muhammad ﷺ has died, so now leave Islam. Leave Islam. Let's go back to our own ways. So Suhail bin Amr, he went up to them because he was also an elder in his people. So he said, do not be the last to believe and the first to leave Islam. Do not be of those people. And he warned them. And he is the one who calmed them down and who gathered them together under the banner of Islam, who made them firm on Islam. So what do we see here? That don't hate a person simply because of his disbelief. Yes, disbelief is something that we abhor, we dislike it. But we have to give people a chance. We have to give them a chance. So many people in their ignorance, they hate Islam, they hate the Muslims. They don't know a word of the Quran. Or if they have heard anything about Islam, it's from the articles on the internet or some books which are completely anti-Islam. And as a result, they hate Muslims and Islam. Think, they don't know. So over here, Allah is telling us, give them a chance until they can hear the word of Allah. How can there be for the polytheists a treaty in the sight of Allah and with His Messenger, except for those with whom you made a treaty at Al-Masjid Al-Haram? So as long as they are upright toward you, you be upright toward them. Indeed, Allah loves the righteous. Those people who fear Allah, Allah loves them. Now, the reason is being given for the annulment of all of these contracts. Why? The reason is that how can there be a treaty while if they gain dominance over you, they do not observe concerning you any pact of kinship or covenant of protection. They satisfy you with their mouths, meaning when they make a treaty with you, it's just to satisfy you. But their hearts refuse compliance, and most of them are defiantly disobedient. Meaning when you have seen a history of treachery with these people, how can you trust them? We learned that the Sulh Hudaybiyah also, what happened? 1 year, just some time after that, what happened? The mushrikeen, one of their allies, they attacked the allies of the Muslims. They killed them, they attacked them in the night time. They killed their people even in the haram. Even in the haram they killed them. And this is what led to the conquest of Makkah. So Allah is saying that why would you not annul these contracts? How could you trust these people? Whenever they have made a contract with you in the past, they have always betrayed you. They have exchanged the signs of Allah for a small price and averted people from His way. Indeed, it was evil that they were doing. They do not observe toward a believer any pact of kinship or covenant of protection, and it is they who are the transgressors. But if they repent, establish prayer, and give the zakat, then they are your brothers in religion. Then no matter what they have done in the past, forget about it. Once they accept Islam, and they pray salah, they give zakat, they are your brothers in deen. وَنُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ And we detail the verses for people who know. So in this ayah we see the sign of Islam. What is the sign of a person's Islam? His salah and his zakat. When a person accepts Islam, people say, oh, how can we trust them? What if they're just saying the shahada just to be accepted as a Muslim and they're not truly Muslim? The fact is, we don't know what's in their hearts. But what we can see are the actions. So the actions of a person, they determine his deen, his Islam. And of the foremost are which ones? Salah and zakat. If a person performs a salah, he's a Muslim, she's a Muslim. If a person gives a zakat, he's a Muslim, she's a Muslim. And if they break their oaths after their treaty and defame your religion, then fight the leaders of disbelief, for indeed there are no oaths sacred to them. Fight them that they might cease. Again, what's the purpose of fighting? Just cause bloodshed? What's the purpose? So that they may cease. Meaning people who are creating mischief in the land, who are disturbing the peace in the land, their power needs to be broken. They need to be stopped. Sometimes force has to be used to stop the spread of corruption. Force has to be used. Harsh disciplinary measures have to be taken in order to stop the spread of corruption. This has to be done. Even if they seem very harsh, they have to be done. So likewise over here, when these harsh measures are being taken, this is for the greater good. And the reason for fighting them, Allah says, would you not fight a people who broke their oaths and determined to expel the messenger? Look at what they've done to you. They made life for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so difficult in Makkah. He had to leave. Can you imagine a person is not safe in Makkah? His life is in danger in Makkah. And they had begun the attack upon you the first time. They started this violence. Do you fear them? But Allah has more right that you should fear Him if you are truly believers. Fight them. Allah will punish them by your hands and will disgrace them and give you victory over them and satisfy the breasts of a believing people. Meaning the believers have suffered very long at the hands of these criminals. And remove the fury in the believers' hearts. And Allah turns in forgiveness to whom He wills. And Allah is knowing and wise.